Even so, faith, if it hath not works, it's dead being alone. Yea, a man may say, oh, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I'll show thee my faith by my works. Oh, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? See, many may tell you they believe. You know, here's the devils. They said they believe. They, you know, the devils know that. Well, what do the devils lack? They don't have any good works, do they? They only do evil works. The point is that what their aspect of their faith is, a true faith is a faith that commits oneself. When we say we believe that Jesus Christ is our Lord and our Savior, we're acknowledging that we are a follower of Jesus Christ. That as he walked, we strive to walk. As he talks, we strive to talk. We're a follower of him. Now, he gives us an illustration about this whole matter. Was not, verse 21, he gives us Abraham, our father justified by works when he offered Isaac, his son, upon the altar. By faith he offered up his son, believing that God would raise him, because here's his son, and God had promised him through this son that he would have as many children as the stars of the sky, sand of the sea, all right? And he offered up this. It was a work, but it was a demonstration of his faith. Verse 22, seest thou how faith wrought with his works? By works was faith made perfect. The scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. Now you see what counts for our salvation is the believing. It was not the believing in the works that imputed him righteousness. It was his believing God that imputed for him for righteousness, that he was called a friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messenger she had sent out by another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. I can have a faith that this chair is going to hold me. Watch me demonstrate that I believe that. But I can say, I got faith that chair is going to hold me. Now, do I really have faith? No. Well, how'd you know that? Well, faith without works, it's dead. It's not real faith. If I have a faith that Jesus is coming again, the whole emphasis of Matthew is that I should be watching for him. And while I'm watching, I should be working. I should be doing his bidding. I should be using the gifts and goods that he's given to me to minister unto him. And by the way, but he's not here. He's not here yet. How can I minister unto him who's not back? Where is he? Now we know he's in us, right? The Holy Spirit, the Lord, the Christ. But in a sense, we say, well, he's not back here in his glory. So how is it possible for me to be serving my Lord, by serving others? That's how it's possible. As I wait for his coming, I should be working. And is a reward. When you study 1 Corinthians chapter 3, that's a chapter, and 2 Corinthians chapter 5, talking about standing at the judgment, judgment seat, but not, I'm trying to think of Christ. What's it called? His seat is called what? Where he's going to stand. Come on. It's called It's called, wait a minute, knowing this, okay, we're confident to therefore labor that we must be all to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That's what it's called, judgment seat of Christ. I was thinking that I knew it wasn't a great white throne judgment. Great white throne judgment, they're going to be judged. Oh, and unsaved, how are they going to be judged? According to their what? Works. And how are Christians going to be judged? According to their, whether it's their wood, hay, stubble, whether they're gold, silver, precious stone. Now, the thing is, it's already been determined whether we are a goat or whether we are a sheep. And that determination is all dependent upon whether one has received or rejected Christ. Those who have rejected Christ, his words and his works, they're goats. But these goats are going to still be judged according to the works. Not all goats are as mean as... we had another Billy goat. He was not as mean as what we call Billy. I forget what we call the other one. But anyway, Billy was really mean. So you've got different goats over here, and they do a lot of different wicked deeds, and they're going to be judged according to them. Now you say, well, and we talked about this, what does God do? This is the fire here. It's that is a 70-degree fire. Here is 90-degree fire. For that, no, this rule. And down here, it's 110 degrees. And we don't know what the scripture's unclear. What it is clear is this, that the unsaved are going to be judged according to their works. We know that. So if God has kept this book writing down all their works, he's been meticulous about that, then you recognize that there's different judgments. God has always been a God of different judgments. You go from Genesis right on through, and you'll see that there are different laws, and they had different consequences for these. All right, so we see that that's what's going to happen. Over here we look, and according to 1 Corinthians 3, and we looked and studied five different crowns that a Christian could receive. So over here, they're going to be judged. Now, it says they're going to be judged according to their works. So not every Christian is going to receive all five crowns. Because one of the crowns is for a pastor, so not all of us are going to receive that one. But there are other crowns too. Not everybody's going to receive them. We just looked at the parable before. And remember how we saw, well, the one he took the 10 and he went out and he made 10. The other one took 5 and he went out and made 5. The one took 1 and buried it. Man, he took that one from the guy who buried it and he gave it to the one who had 10. Why didn't he give it to the one who had 5? He doubled it, each one doubled it. But the fact of the matter is this. We're going to be judged according to our works. So what God is trying to motivate us to do as we study the scriptures is understand, look, we ought to be looking for his return. If we think Jesus is going to come this afternoon, I guarantee you, this service today will be a whole lot different for you. When we're praying and we have that time of prayer, you're confessing. I guarantee you, you're confessing. And you're asking God to just cleanse you of all unrighteousness. And you're purposing in your heart to do certain things. Why? Because he's coming at 1 o'clock. I got to be what? Ready. And the other aspect is, man, as I'm waiting, if I have an opportunity today while I'm around here and I have a chance to talk to someone, encourage someone, think I'm going to be doing it, knowing he's coming at 1, knowing that when he comes, he's going to be looking at my works to see if they're gold, silver, precious stones, or whether they're wood, hay, and stubble. So this is an inspiration to us, is that you being mindful, those who are described as sheep, those who are described as righteous, are those who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me say this, true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me say this, those who have been quickened by the Spirit of God. A man in the flesh can say this, I believe in Jesus Christ. But eventually, that will all be proven out by his works. Or I can, by the Spirit of God, say, I believe in Jesus Christ. Those who say it by the Spirit of God will endure until the end. Those who say it by the Spirit of God will bring forth good works. Someone asked me, how in the world, preacher, do I know if I have been quickened by the Spirit of God? That my profession of faith was not in the flesh. It was in the Spirit of God. How do I know that? And I'll say time. Because in time, it'll all be proved. Remember the other parable of the sower? Word fell on the soil. The birds came, snatched away some. But some fell on, that came up quickly, dried out, didn't have any works. The others said that there was fruit for a moment, and then it was gone. But then there was the last one, fell on good ground, ground prepared by the Spirit of God, and it brought forth some 60, some 100. And again, even there you see different fruits. And with different fruits come different blessings and different rewards. Well, oh boy. Listen, what are these verses teach us about our triune God? Anybody want to take a shot at that? Or what do these verses teach us about mankind? Because when you read your scriptures, you want to look about, what's this teaching me about my God? Now, we're talking about the Matthew passage. What's this teaching us about our God? What's it teaching us about mankind in those verses? Did you learn anything? When Jesus comes again, what did we learn about that? He's going to come to what? Judge. Okay, so we learned that about our God. He's coming to judge. What did we learn about how will the Lord deal with Christians? He will what? Well, he's going to separate them, you're right. And the Christians he's going to bless, and the unbelievers he's going to curse. One, life eternal. Other, everlasting fire. Now, did we learn anything about mankind? Well, we could say the same things what we just said. But what did we learn about the righteous? The righteous will demonstrate, the righteous will produce. You'll know the righteous by their fruits, by their works. All right? Works in the lives of others. Christians, unbelievers, but you'll know by their works. Now, knowing that, what purpose might you... You read a passage like that today, and you shouldn't just read it and say, well, hey, that was good reading. You should read it and say, you know what? Here's, as a result of this reading today, here's what I'm going to purpose to do. What might your purpose to do? Anybody? Somebody? Be ready. Be ready. And as you're ready, you should be what? Working. I wrote down, you know what? I purpose to minister to Christ by ministering unto others. And then I wrote this, I purpose to minister unto, now I won't tell you who I put my blank, by. You should be able to do something like that. You know, I purpose to minister to Christ this week by ministering to others. And then you should be able to say this, you know what? And you don't do this in the flesh, you do it in the Spirit. You say, Lord, who would you have me to minister to? And if you don't watch out, you're going to stumble over that person. Because God's going to put them in your pathway, who he wants you to minister to. But if you pray and you show yourself willing, and Lord, who would you have me to minister to? How would you have me to minister to them? I guarantee you, it'll be in your mind, on your heart. And then in obedience, you need to walk and do it. I put that challenge to you, you know, just today. Say, you know what, Lord, I'm purposing to minister to someone that you would bring across my path, bring my path across them. And Lord, I'm asking you how you'd even have me to minister to them.